Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay that baseball's done. I'm okay with that. We can't miss you if you never go away, baseball. Not that it's a whole lot quieter from here through the end of the year with football. In fact, we're on the cusp. It seems almost coordinated. We're on the cusp of the first expanded college football playoff rankings. They will come out on Tuesday, which is also election day. Not much else happening on Tuesday. Usually the sports world clears the deck a little bit so that athletes can vote, coaches, staff members, workers, vendors, all that kind of stuff. Sports end up kind of taking a step back on election day, which I think is a really smart way to navigate that day because it's so important for our nation. In fact, I'm wearing some red, white, and blue today, as well as potentially on both Monday and Tuesday. I'm actually pretty excited about what's to come this week. So, yes, college football playoff rankings, the expanded version. We will wrap up week 9 in the NFL coming up on Monday night, which is incredible. And, boy, do we have a lot to talk about, a lot to sift through from week 8. No, not week 8. It's still week 9. Week 9. Oh, goodness. There goes the perfect show. It took all of 90 seconds. We've already wrapped up week 8. We're not going back. We do not look in the rearview mirror. We look forward. And so this Sunday, week 9, it was terrific. Some good stuff. I feel like the season is really starting to take a really unique shape. And one of the things that we're seeing over and over in week 9 is less of those gaudy kind of passing attacks, less of that, less of that high octane, high velocity passing attacks. Not that there aren't quarterbacks who can do that or offenses that can do that, but it's become a little more meat on bone type of thing. Less flash, more dash. Less of the old highlight reel, crazy numbers, 500-yard passing games for quarterbacks, 400-yard passing games for quarterbacks. I'm not even sure we've had more than a couple of those, if at all. But the passing numbers are way down this season. Instead, it's not as though teams are only running the ball, but instead what we're getting is just a little more basic fundamentals, depending upon who you are. The winning teams, of course, more fundamentals. Although today's highlight reel moment is one that you almost have to see to believe. I will describe it to you, but you almost have to see it to believe it. And you also have to see it to label it. So here's what I want you to do. Even as we're going to give you a special Saquon Barkley moment that will cause your jaw to drop open, I'm going to retweet the video of it at A-Law Radio because I asked people, what is this move called? And I got a lot of response, not to mention you just need to recognize this is extremely high degree of difficulty. So again, at A-Law Radio, even as we give you Saquon Barkley airborne backwards, you're going to have to go to my Twix and see it for yourself and help me figure out what we should label this.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
Right? How do you jump over a guy backwards? But that's exactly what he does. He takes the ball. He does one of those kind of stutter step. Then he spins around one defender. So that defender's left kind of trying to tackle air. And then turns his back to the next defender. I'm so glad Saquon's healthy now. It's terrific for football. Turns his back to the next defender as though to shield the ball. Hikes up his knees and jumps over that defender backwards. Like completely hurdles him. There's almost no contact, if anything. And then you see him on the sidelines kind of doing a deep lunge just to make sure everything's still working. Oh my goodness. Saquon Barkley with the moment of the week that will cause your jaw to drop open. That's Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles Radio. And yeah, we weren't the only ones at home. Now, I know Tua thinks that we sit on our couches and eat chips while we're watching football, but we weren't the only ones who were dazzled by that moment. Just a couple of the reactions, and they're everywhere. Nick Sirianni and his quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
It was the best play I've ever seen. Saquon's play, what I think is so cool, there's going to be kids all over the country and all over Philadelphia. I really think about that, trying to make that play and talking about that play and like simulating that play as they play backyard football or peewee football. Like, they ain't going to be able to make it because I think he's the only one in the world that could do that. I thought it was, I'm speechless. Like, it was unbelievable.
God has blessed Saquon with some special things, you know, and I really genuinely pray he continues to use those things in the fullness of him and, you know, give him the glory with that because it's special stuff he's capable of doing. So, you know, we just need him to continue to be that type of player.
Even as I look up at the networks here in studio, they're replaying Saquon Barkley's 3rd and 6 completion, because it was actually a pass from Jalen out of the flat. And then the spin move, the juke, the spin move, the backwards hurdle. Although that sounds awkward to me. We're going to need to name it something. Something super cool. Turns out to be a 14-yard gain for Saquon Barkley. And if you haven't seen the sideline reaction, it's over the top. It's like an NBA sideline when a dude hits a big three or jams home a dunk with a poster and the whole bench falls out. That's what's happening on the sidelines with Saquon's move. And he was amazing in this game against the Jaguars, one in which Philadelphia had to hang on for dear life and needed an interception in the end zone off Trevor Lawrence to preserve. But let's not overlook Saquon. I needed to start with it. In fact, if not for Saquon Barkley's blind leapfrog backwards, I don't know what we're going to call it. If not for that, we'd all be gaping over Devontae Smith's one-handed touchdown with the toes dragged for the swag. Although that was pretty dynamic as well. Potentially a TD of the week candidate. And we're off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in and name Saquon Barkley's blind reverse backward leapfrog hurdle over the defender, That would be a great hashtag. We will come back to Eagles and Jaguars. There is talk that Doug Peterson may be on the way out, but I don't know how much that is speculation. Rumor, we know he already got Shad Khan's endorsement, if you will. Not that that means a whole lot. Very soon, we will get to Lions and Green Bay Packers in the mire and the muck and the mess. Oh, my goodness. And yet, the Lions continue to find ways to win, which is really impressive that they can win in any condition, on any field. They're not a dome team because they've got the tools, even without Aiden Hutchinson. I saw a commercial with Aiden dancing. I can't remember what it was for. Maybe State Farm, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. It was a commercial that he was kind of moving around, and it was in a yoga studio, and he was having a good old time. And I was thinking, oh, man, how much NFL misses him, and we miss him, just watching him with his energy and his motor make plays. So I got this tweet from Germanic. We'll go with that. And he asked me, Amy, do you think the Lions are legit Super Bowl contenders? I almost wrote back, duh, but I thought that might be rude and maybe misinterpreted on social media. So instead, I responded with, of course, not questionable at this point. So yes, we are going to talk about the Lions and the Eagles and the Jaguars and the Packers, not in that order. We're going to talk about what we saw with the Rams and the Seahawks, as well as Miami Buffalo. That's a good one too. In that the Bills had to rally from a pretty poor first half. Don't look now, but we've had some changes atop division standings. So those are huge as well. It's all going to happen on this edition of the show, since there is no more baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page as well, and then at A-Law Radio. Let's start about the Colts and the Vikings from Monday Night Football. So this was actually a game in which, for a while, the Vikes looked like they were taking a step toward extending what was a modest two-game losing skid. It's a tough first half for the Minnesota Vikings. They end up with a pair of missed field goals. Sam Darnold throws an interception in the end zone on the opening drive. And if you add insult to turnover injury, that's not all in the first half.
Was 47-yard line and produces a first and 10 from there. Darnold under center. Play action. Deep drop. Here comes the rush by the Colts, and they ring him around the neck. The ball is out. They're going the other way with it. Kenny Moore has it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's going to score a touchdown, but there is a flag on the field, and I think the Colts are going to be guilty of tackling and sacking Sam Darnold around the neck area.
Such a shame. Grover just beat his man so bad.
There's no foul on the play. Ruling on the field is touchdown.
Wow! They take off the penalty on the field, and Kenny Moore is going to race the other way. A scoop and score. Touchdown on defense for the Colts.
That's the call with Matt Taylor on the Colts Radio Network. So the only touchdown in the first half of Sunday Night Football is that scoop and score after the Grover Stewart sack that forced the fumble on Sam Darnold. So he ends up with two turnovers in the first half. And in that third quarter, they have to rally right away. And they come out of the halftime locker room with a 9-play, 70-yard drive. And I think in the case of Sam Darnold, it's about settling in and taking what the defense gives you, right? It's not about forcing it or trying to make a play that isn't there. That's what got him into trouble early on in his career with the Jets. But a more mature Sam Darnold bringing the Vikings back.
Jefferson left, Addison right, two tight ends, Mutton Hawkinson to the right of Brian O'Neill. Darnold swings out to the right. He throws to the end zone, and Addison caught it! Yes! Grab by Jordan Addison.
That's Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. Next possession, Darnold sets up another TD with a 41-yard strike to Justin Jefferson, who was all over in this game. Jefferson ends up with over 100 yards receiving, 7 for 137. And even though he didn't have a touchdown, it was him who Darnold turned to, of course, when he needed to move the chains, when he needed to get into the red zone, when he needed to make sure that the Vikings wouldn't waste another possession. And so a 41-yarder puts them inside that red zone, and Darnold is sitting pretty again.
Third and goal, Darnold shotgun, Jones by his side, Jefferson wide left, three receivers right. 7-7, 2:54 to go in the third quarter. Sam back to pass, straight drop, throws to the end zone, caught, touchdown! Jalen Naylor with his fourth touchdown this season.
Plenty of chunk plays in the second half for Sam Darnold and the Vikings. His third touchdown goes to Josh Oliver with a couple of minutes to go. And Minnesota defense really stepped up its game in the second half. Three sacks of Flacco and a lot of room to breathe as well. Once the Vikings got in front, it didn't feel like the Colts had the drive or the ability to come back. The defense for Minnesota played a lot like it did early in the year, if you remember, only giving up 227 yards to Indy. And the Colts never reached the end zone with an offensive touchdown, right? So they don't even get into the red zone. If you're looking at where they were moving the ball, they get dominated in time of possession. Plus 14 minutes for the Vikings. If not for the turnovers, three turnovers by Minnesota, this is an overwhelmingly convincing win, an overwhelmingly lopsided win. Love what they do with Aaron Jones, 133 yards rushing. And so the Vikings are able to hold off the Colts. It's a game in which they needed the defense to kind of help them overcome the mistakes, the miscues, but you take the win after two losses in a row.
There was a lot of things that we really wanted to emphasize, starting with our defense. I thought they were really the backbone, not only forcing two turnovers with Murph and Harry, but just the way they were able to answer the bell.
Great team win. You know, obviously we would have liked to be better in the first half. Can't turn the ball over the way I did today, first and foremost, but just a resilient group.
Sam Darnold pointing to the three phases of the game for the Vikes and the way they really excel. But yes, he ends up with three touchdown passes in the second half to compensate for the three turnovers in this game, just about 300 yards passing. As for the Colts, a little bit weird here because they'd made the switch from Anthony Richardson to Joe Flacco. And while they cited maturity and experience, Shane Steichen did when he was talking about that quarterback change, I'm not sure that this version of Flacco against the Vikings, and maybe it's a one-off, but I'm not sure this and his ability to throw the ball is great. He doesn't get flummoxed when he sees defenses coming, but he's also not a mobile quarterback. Now, I know Anthony Richardson can be a roller coaster ride. He puts himself in harm's way too often, but the question has to be asked and probably will be asked this week if it wasn't tonight. How do you fix the offense and why are you going with Flacco or why not consider Anthony Richardson when what you need is some athleticism potentially and playmaking?
I got to keep looking at, you know, what we're doing offensively. We got eight left and just kind of look at, you know, scheme stuff and what we're doing and we'll go from there.
Flacco is 16 of 27 for 179 yards and a pair of turnovers, an interception, and a fumble. And again, there's a lot of things he does well. We know this, of course. He's been around the league a long time. But he's not going to be able to move around and create plays or extend plays with his legs. That's not his game. As much as Anthony Richardson is a little scary at times, he's higher risk, yes, but he's also higher reward. You wonder if the Colts are below 500. Why not let Richardson go out there and get the reps and learn on the job?
Obviously, very disappointing going on the road, not getting it done. It starts with myself. I'm the head coach. Everything that's on that field, I'm in charge of. So I wasn't good enough for the guys tonight.
After back-to-back losses, the Colts fall below 500. Meanwhile, the Texans, who are off this weekend, are the only team in the AFC South above 500. The Titans, while they get a win on Sunday in overtime against New England, they're only at 2-6. The Jaguars are at 2-7, tied for the worst record in the NFL. That's interesting, right? Into week number 9, There are multiple teams that are 2-7, or multiple two-win teams, actually, if you take into account buys. But that's the worst record in the league, is 2-7. There are no overs. There's no one-win teams. So if you're wondering about the number one draft pick coming up in 2025, right now there are a lot of different ways that can go. So there's both the Saints and the Panthers. Crazy enough, right? The Saints started out 2-0 and have dropped 7 straight. What a total disaster. So Saints and Panthers and Giants are all 2-7 in the NFC. In the AFC, the Raiders, who just fired a few coaches, including their offensive coordinator, we'll talk about that one. The Raiders, the Jags, the Browns, and the Patriots are all 2-7. And then you've got the Dolphins and the Titans, who are 2-6. So it's going to be quite the race, not just for playoff spots, but for games at the end of the year, right, where people start talking about tanking for that number one overall pick. There can be multiple teams that could be in that situation. Now, I don't know if there's a number one pick consensus like there was this year with Caleb Williams, but you can almost always, not always, but almost always get a game changer with good coaching, of course, and with good health. You can get a game changer at the top of the NFL draft. We're just getting started. We're going to talk about the Lions and the Packers because we know the Vikings have moved to 6-2. Lions and Packers were both sitting on 6 wins when the day started. That game taking place in messy, morbid, mucky and murky Lambeau Field. I'm trying to come up with all my M words. It was a good game, though, despite all of that. I have great admiration for the players and the coaches, the officials, the fans that gutted it out. No, thank you. I would have, after I was completely and utterly wet, I guess it wouldn't have mattered, but I would not have enjoyed it and probably would have complained about how cold I was. Or listen to my husband complain about how cold he is. 855-212-4227. What are you calling Saquon Barkley's backward leap over the top of a defender? You can see it online at A-Law Radio, then on our Facebook page too. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He did that to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Eagles receivers weren't the only ones who had never seen anything like it. Devontae Smith said the same thing. Crazy. I ain't never seen nothing like it. You also have this comment from Saquon Barkley, which I think is pretty cool. He said that he actually pulled this move off before. He jumped backward over an Iowa defender when he was a sophomore at Penn State, but he said that one wasn't as cool. That's Saquon Barkley's comment. And we don't have audio from him yet, but we're hoping to get it. He goes on to say, I've got to give credit to God. I'm not going to lie. I feel like God gave me the ability to play this position and gave me some instincts. Sometimes you got to let go and let God and your instincts take over. And yeah, he had a monster day, nearly 200 yards from scrimmage, a couple of touchdowns, only the second player in Eagles history to have over 1,000 scrimmage yards and at least 8 touchdowns through 8 games. Now, the reason that they mentioned Shady McCoy on the Eagles radio network is because he was inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame Sunday, and so he was on hand. And yeah, lots of dazzling plays for the Eagles against the Jaguars. We'll get to that game following the update. We're going to talk about Lions and Packers, a shorter segment here, and I'm asking you, what would you name that particular Saquon Barkley moment? Our friend Sean Grandy from the Celtics Radio Network responds with the butt tumble. So not the butt fumble, which is owned by the Jets, but the butt tumble. And you can find it at A-Law Radio. Also, I can put it up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. We'll have Monday MVP coming up in this edition of the show so that you are ushering in a brand new work week with a poll. And I dare say Saquon Barkley will be part of it. So 855-212-4227. Tommy is in North Tennessee. Tommy, what do you think?
Well, Amy, I would refer back to an old Olympic move by Dick Fosbury and call it the Saquon Fosbury, because that reminded me of his high jumping technique. As soon as I saw it on tonight on the show, and I did want to congratulate you on a very nice wrap up of the Dodgers win on the World Series. That really was analysis. I didn't get to see the last couple of innings, and you did a great job. Very informative. And very, very good sports reporter.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was just a great story from start to finish for the Dodgers. And I love the fact that they were able to finish with a World Series considering all the adversity they went through. But also, I'll be honest, I always enjoy crowning champions because then we can close the door on that particular season. Go away, baseball. We need some time to miss you.
One other little item. I've got a conspiracy theory for you. I think that the NFL officials are all Republicans, and they found out that Sam Darnold is a Democrat.
Oh, stop. We don't do politics here, Tommy, and that's not true, of course. You know that the NFL is not rigged. If it was, it would make more sense, and the NFL makes no sense. But, yeah, no matter what your politics, that's the one subject on this show that we do not touch with a 10-foot pole, because what kind of a radio host would I be if I started talking politics and divided my audience in half? I learned that lesson a long time ago. Nah, this is a politic-free zone, which is actually why I'm not working Tuesday night, because I want to be home and watch the news and watch how the election results come in. Better for me to be hanging out and enjoying the news coverage, since I'm a news junkie, than to be here trying to pretend like I care about what's happening in sports that night. Let's talk to Jim in Georgia. Jim, welcome to After Hours. What do you think?
I call it lucky, because we had a kid here in Gwinnett County, Georgia, at the middle school age kids at the youth league level. And, you know, we teach our kids how to hit with your shoulder pad, head up where you can see what you're hitting. And this kid at the goal line run around the spinning move, and this guy said, it might look like a high jump looking thing, but two of our kids caught that guy in the backside. And when we looked at the father that records our games, we could tell one of our kids' helmet caught the kid on the side in his shoulder pad, which you hitch with, hit him right square in the back. He left in an ambulance. We later, 3 days later, learned he left the game with a bruised kidney because he got hit in the backside. Instead of, our coaches always taught me, and I teach our kids, you hit with your shoulder pad, you run behind your shoulder pad.
So what you're saying is that if they had been...
So he was lucky.
Well, I don't know about that. He got pretty high up in the air as the defender is kind of coming down trying to make the charge.
If the guy tackling had had his head up and saw what he was hitting and where to put his shoulder pad, he could have caught him square in the back.
Okay, I get what you're saying, but he didn't, and I think Saquon's...
That's why I call it lucky.
Well, no, Saquon's athletic ability is not luck. I mean, he was up high enough that, that he jumped right over the guy.
Well, you're lucky to get his
square in the back. Okay, well, I appreciate that that's such a testament to your coaching skills and all, but these are professionals, and the defender believed that the best way to get him was to grab him around the waist, as in see the ball, right? See the ball, see the waist, make sure that you get him, as opposed to whiffing at him with when he's not in a good tackling position. But thank you, Jim. Not lucky. Not lucky at all. What these guys do, a bounce every now and then might be about luck in the NFL. That's a slippery little sucker, that football, especially when it gets wet. But the athletic abilities of these guys, not lucky. Very rarely do you see a great tackle made with a guy standing straight up just because you can get stiff-armed. You can get knocked over. You're not in a position to be able to withstand a hit or withstand contact. So that's defensive stance in really any sport, like basketball, for instance. You're not supposed to stand straight up when you're trying to play defense in basketball. So I think it was just pure athleticism and perfect timing from Saquon Barkley. 888-5, just forgot our number. That's not 888. I was going to give you a different number, someone else's number to call it luck. 855-212-4227. You can see that moment on our show Twix, actually, at Amy After Hours, or you can find it on mine as well. Did you all enjoy the extra hour of sleep? If that was something that you desperately needed, oh my gosh, my husband and I, we went for a pretty extensive mountain climb, climbed two mountains in the Catskills, which are central New York and upstate New York. Did that when we on Saturday, and we were pooped on Saturday night. So we were pretty happy to have the extra hour of sleep. I think we were lights out at 10 p.m. actually. By the time we got home, we were exhausted, ate pizza, and had a couple of dessert treats, and then out. But yes, it was nice. And I know people hate turning clocks back. I think it's a testament to the fact that a lot of people don't even have clocks anymore. The phones do it for you. And so that's how archaic this whole tradition is about turning clocks back. But I will say, as someone who works overnights, I actually don't mind it as much, because I feel like with the clocks staying where they are, I don't get any daylight in the morning anymore. And if I don't wake up by a certain time, I don't get any daylight in the afternoon either. So it's kind of nice to at least see the sun before I go to bed. Let's see. You can find us online at our Facebook page as well. And we'll get to Lions Packers coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football in Minnesota.
Second and 11 from the Colts 14. Jones the single set. Addison in motion to the right. Play action from under center. Darnold to the end zone. Touchdown! Josh Oliver with a touchdown to stretch the lead to 2010.
Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, and the Vikings are now 6-2. After they knock off the Colts 21-13, Sam Darnold, 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 picks. Elsewhere in the NFL, in overtime, the Rams over the Seahawks 26-20. It was the Lions beating the Packers 24-14. In overtime, Titans 20, Patriots 17. Cardinals over the Bears 29-9. Eagles beat the Jaguars 28-23. Saquon Barkley rushed for 159 yards and a touchdown. It was the Commanders over the Giants 27-22, Chargers 27, Browns 10, Joe Burrow 5 touchdown passes, Bengals over the Raiders 41-24, Ravens 41, Broncos 10, the Bills beat the Dolphins 30-27, a Tyler Bass 61-yard field goal with 5 seconds to go. The Panthers beat the Saints 23-22, the Falcons over the Cowboys 27-21. NBA Mavericks 108, Magic 85, the Hawks over the Pelicans 126-111, and the Pistons beat the Nets 106-92. NHL, the Oilers double up the Flames 4-2. The Bruins blank the Kraken 2-0. Jets 7, Lightning 4, Blackhawks over the Ducks 4-2. In overtime, Wild 2, Leafs 1, Hurricanes 4, Capitals 2. The Rangers beat the Islanders 5-2. NASCAR, Ryan Blaney wins at Martinsville. Chase Elliott came in second, and Kyle Larson finished third. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
We talked about Colts and Vikings on Sunday Night Football. That was one of the options for After Hours game of the week because the NFC North is on fire, fire, fire. But the game that you chose overwhelmingly, and I mean 82% plus as the After Hours game of the week, well, it came from Green Bay. And we knew a couple days beforehand it was going to be messy and rainy and cold, a little bit windy at times as well. And so this was the type of game that the NFC North is supposed to be built on. Toughness, physical play, no excuses, discipline, smash mouth. Even though the Lions play in a dome normally. But they were game. They were up for the challenge. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Despite the fact that it was rainy and messy, Jordan Love was still playing. Maybe a little ginger with that groin issue. But able to get on top early. And you could tell yards were going to be hard to come by in stretches. Green Bay actually converts a 4th-and-1 on the opening drive with a direct snap to Tucker Kraft. So Matt LaFleur getting creative. That drive equals a field goal. Detroit then answers with a 13-play drive. And once again, Jared Goff not missing his targets at all. And wouldn't you know, it's one of those moments for Dan Campbell. Anything you can do, Matt LaFleur, I can do better. Forget just a 4th-and-1. How about a 4th-down and goal? And Goff finds Amon-Ra St. Brown, his favorite target, for a touchdown that gives them a 7-3 lead early in that second quarter. And there's more with Amon-Ra, but I love what Jared Goff had to say following the game. And now we'll talk about it coming up because there was a moment as well where the two connected on a touchdown. When you think about like the way that Dan Campbell is able to use Amon-Ra, so on that TD, use him as a guy who's in motion right to left. Then he kind of wafts into the end zone. He fakes in. He ends up going out. He just kind of does what he wants, which is what I put out there on Twix. Because you can use him a variety of ways. We know he throws the ball at times. We know that he'll take carries. He'll help to reverse the field. And so, yeah, the combination of his skills along with the trust that he and Jared Goff have, well, it makes for quite a potent duo.
He's the friendliest target I've ever thrown to, and I'm lucky to play with him, and I hope to play with him for quite some time, and he's a hard worker. He does everything right. I love him. He's great. Yeah, we've worked on that in the past, and something we thought could be good this week, and I thought at the end of the day it was just me and him making a play. Guy covered it actually pretty well and just put it on his back shoulder. He made a great catch, and his celebration was pretty good too.
Oh, did you see the celebration? If you haven't, it's tremendous. He does a headstand where he kind of goes up on his helmet and then boom, right down the other side. So he doesn't hold it like he's a gymnast, but he does do a full headstand before he rolls down in the end zone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, this game did feature an ejection of Brian Branch that came from on high. It was phoned in, if you will, from NFL headquarters in New York. There was a helmet-to-helmet hit on Bo Melton, which precipitated the flag, of course, but then after they're processing and it appears as though the Packers are going to get back to work, the call comes in late that New York has decided that Brian Branch would be ejected. He doesn't like it. The Lions don't like it. He makes a kind of an obscene gesture as he's walking off the field. And for all of that, they end up with no Branch for that second half.
And the only explanation I got, those guys did a great job cleating them. Got a lot of respect for what they do, but they just said it came from New York, you know, and so that's all I've got on it. And, that's the first time I've ever been a part of something like that. since I've been head coach that somebody got ejected. So so I didn't see it, you know. I don't know. And so I don't know.
Dan Campbell, not a whole lot to say, just that it did not come from the officiating crew in Green Bay. Packers end up missing a field goal in the rain. Detroit tacks on a field goal before half, but still the turning point is in the final minute. This is tough for Jordan Love. He's trying to make a play. He's trying to flip the ball over the top of the defense, but it goes horribly wrong.
Second down and two, Green Bay from their own 38. Love takes the shotgun snap. Lions bring a late blitz. Love back, looking, being chased. Love throw. Picked off by the Lions. Kirby Joseph, left side. He's going to go, baby. Count it down. Five. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, how big is that? How big is that?
Oh, it was big. All right, Dan Miller with the call on the Lions Radio Network. To me, that was the turning point, that Kirby Joseph pick six, able to go 27 yards, and just a moment that Jordan Love desperately wants back. Now, in the mess and the muck, Detroit goes heavy with Jahmyr Gibbs to open up the second half. And we know once you let Gibbs loose, he can run roughshod.
The Saints right at the 15, so fourth and one for the Lions from the 15. Goff out of the gun. Gibbs to his right. Jared takes the snap. Hands to Jahmyr. There he goes. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. They just parted the seas and Jahmyr ran to the daylight.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. The Lions end up with 124 yards rushing. They take care of the football, no turnovers, and really the icing on the cake is a Goff TD pass to David Montgomery. But this was one of those games where the Packers just squandered opportunities, and the Lions, because they have so many options, so many different ways to beat you, that's not just offense, but defense as well. It's tough to make up points when you don't take advantage of those chances that you have. The Lions stuffed Josh Jacobs on a fourth and one in the red zone, and Green Bay goes just one of four in that red zone. 10 different penalty flags, yet too many miscues, too many mistakes, and the Lions end up with a double figure win, their third consecutive victory in a row at Green Bay. Goff, by the way, fourth game this season in which he started out making at least his first 10 completions. So he goes 11 for 11 to begin this game, finishes up 18 of 22 for 145 and a touchdown. Really, this was a balanced attack for Dan Campbell's crew. It doesn't matter the conditions out in the elements or on the field.
I'm not shocked one bit that we came out of here and played pretty good football out in the elements. That we're built for this, man, and it doesn't matter. And just because we play indoors, it doesn't matter, man. We can play anywhere. We can play in the snow. We can play in the rain. We can play in the mud. That's just us, and we're built to win.
When you're playing a good football team, you can't have those types of mistakes. I don't know what their number of penalties were, but we just had. You look at right off the jump, we get a personal foul or whatever. What they called on Keyshawn, the 15-yarder, which is totally unacceptable. And then we had multiple. They have their first drive. It's fourth and goal on the 5-yard line. We jump off sides, and it gives them an opportunity. They go for it. They get a touchdown there. And then when we were driving or getting into scoring position, it seemed like we had false starts. We had snaps. The ball was on the ground. Just way too many mistakes. And you cannot do that against a good football team because they're going to make you pay. And credit to them. They played a clean game.
So now you've got the Lions 2-0 in the AFC North, while Jordan Love and the Packers fall to 0-2. They've lost to the Vikings as well. But understanding the strength of this division, it's a huge deal for Dan Campbell's club because, yeah, not only do they win at Green Bay, but they've started out with those two victories against their toughest competition.
We were able to do it. That's a good football team, and we'll see them again, next month. So, but really proud of them. You know, we knew it was going to be critical to get two wins in this division against two really good teams, Minnesota and then this one, Green Bay, at their places. So to be able to do that was big.
Dan Campbell and the Lions have won five consecutive games now. So they sit at 7-1, one of the hottest teams in the NFL. I would say the side of the Kansas City Chiefs, who have not yet lost, though they do have the opportunity at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up on Monday night. That will cap week number 9. Yeah, we still have a lot of hot teams to get to. How about those Philadelphia Eagles? At this point, we've really only talked about Saquon Barkley's impressive move that you're helping me name online at A-Law Radio as well as on the phones, 855-212-4227. But the Buffalo Bills also winning 4 in a row. We got to get to them next hour, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. Some of y'all might have heard I made the cross-country move from LA to New York last year, and Wayfair has definitely helped me create the feeling of home wherever I am. I love a cozy couch and a comfy living room that feels like our little sanctuary for our family. And I love vases, I love candles, I love anything that kind of makes you feel at home and peaceful. Anyway, something about me is I love options when it comes to making my home more me. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. Everyone loves a good deal. I mean, who does not want free and fast and easy delivery? Come on. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.